Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Castle Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We have coming on later in the show, we have the winner of the reality TV show from Bravo, Top Chef. We have Elon Hall, who won that show. He's going to come on and talk with us about his big, big win, $100,000 he wins.
A big win, a kitchen, a custom kitchen, a spread in Food & Wine magazine, a display at Aspen Food & Wine. It's a big deal.
But we have Valentine's Day coming up, which at both restaurants you can come to Stage Left or Catherine Lombardi Restaurant with your lover, as it were. And you can find out how to do that. You can link to our websites or give us a call at the restaurant. That's going to be a lot of fun, Valentine's Day. We have a winemaker coming in. A woman named Kathy Corison is coming in on the 13th.
The day before Valentine's
Day. And so if you want to be really cool, go out the day before Valentine's
Preemptive strike.
And do it. She has some old Cabernet Sauvignons we're going to be drinking with dinner. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So great winemaker. That's
going to be at stageleft.com. The, at least until now, well-reviewed StageLeft.com.
Something else I want to bring up, we're also doing a fundraiser in Catherine Lombardi on February 19th
for a
little boy named Hunter Morris who is unable to digest any food and has to be fed special formula, and it's put his family in a lot of financial trouble.
There's a 501c3 foundation that's been formed to help this family in need. You can make some donations. You can go to huntermorrisfund.com. You can link to that through restaurantguysradio.com. This is a little kid who has a serious medical condition. His family's a middle-class family. His dad's a printer. His mom's a stay-at-home mom. And we're trying to help them out. We're doing dinner at Catherine Lombardi on the 19th.
And a great wine auction. And let me tell you, you guys have been unbelievable with the things that you've donated to the auction. It's going
to
be great.
Well,
whether it's
Knicks tickets,
Knicks and Mets tickets, or front row Mets tickets and field box. You got golf outings. You got obviously tons of really great wine from Araujo to Paul Hobbs to Kathy Corison to Talbot to you name it. We've got some really great names. And really some unusual gifts as well.
If you can come to the fundraiser, it's on February 19th. It's a Catherine Lombardi restaurant. It's $100 a person to come. And then you can bid in the auction as well. And we're going to serve a lot of great food. And we're not keeping a penny. $100
is going.
We're paying for the food.
Bring a check. Save them the credit card processing fee. Write it right to Hunter Morris Fund. You take 100% deduction. And you can do some good with it.
And we're going to be eating there too. And you know what? I'm going to be drinking there too. Okay? That's what I'm going to be doing. So
it scares me when you're drinking at a wine auction. Yeah. That's going to cost me some money.
I won't bid. I won't bid. I promise. If I will, I'll do it for my personal salary. Okay. Want to talk about a restaurant in New York that was reviewed recently? Mm-hmm. Double Whammy reviews came out this week in both.
Oof.
New York Magazine and the New York Times.
Not boding well for this particular restaurant.
Now, the New York Magazine gives a maximum, I think, of 5 stars now. 5 stars. And the New York Times gives a maximum of 4 stars. Want to guess how many stars the Kobe Club by Jeffrey Chattero got?
The Kobe Club.
How many stars out of a possible nine stars? What do you think?
Well, he's got to get at least, 5-6 stars, right?
No stars.
Ouch, no stars.
No stars. The restaurant's called the Kobe Club, named after Kobe beef, which is a very expensive sort of beef that comes primarily from
Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kobe beef, I love to talk about Kobe beef. One of the great pretender things that restaurants do, and actually Chattero's restaurant does not do this incorrectly, so let's give them a little kudos for that. But Kobe beef only comes from Japan. When we bring those cows to the United States and grow them here, it should be called Wagyu beef or Kobe style.
Yeah, Wagyu
beef
is the type of cow that Kobe beef is made from.
Right,
Kobe
exactly.
Is a place in Japan. Anyway, the Kobe steaks are fed a special diet of grains, and in Japan they're fed sake. Here they're fed beer. They're massaged in Japan. We don't massage them here.
If I were a cow, I'd want to live in Kobe.
I think cow massaging may be illegal here in New Zealand. But anyway, the meat is amazing, and it's very expensive, and so it is somewhat expensive. And what both of these restaurants say is, as long as you get some Kobe or Wagyu, what the reviews both say, as long as you get Kobe or Wagyu, it's not bad. But anything else is horrible, including the stupid way it's laid out.
You know what I don't want to do? You know where I don't want to sit?
Where?
Under the ceiling of swords hanging over my head, pointed downward, waiting for something really bad to happen.
It's a rare and less than propitious moment when a dinner out begins with the server asking, "Are you scared?" But that eerie query set the stage for a recent meal at the Kobe Club, and it was prompted by one of the bizarre steakhouse's many design oddities. This review is not beginning well. Hanging upside down from the ceiling in the nearly pitch-black dining room are sharp, gleaming samurai swords, about 2,000 of them, and the server volunteered that number, but he appended it with an assurance that the blades firmly anchored shouldn't cause any concern. Then Frank Bruni continues in the New York Times, "But the food and the bill should."
Ouch. I got to say, Frank, I think, sometimes goes over the line, but he does crack me up. You know what?
Let me give you just a couple highlights.
Let me just say one thing about this, and I think that this is true of a lot of restaurants right now, okay? I go to a restaurant for something comfortable. I go to the restaurant to feel good. I don't go to a restaurant to ride on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
That's at least for me, that's what I want when I go to a restaurant. I don't want you to scare me in the restaurant.
A great restaurant can certainly have flourishes and points that are interesting things to look at, et cetera, and so forth. And
push the envelope. I have no problem with that at all. Push the envelope.
But there's a point where it gets gimmicky, and Trotteros restaurants do that a lot. Let me just give you – this is like the fast-forward version of the Frank Bruni review. Words like insipid, insulting dishes at prices that draw blood, a cynical stab at exploiting
at prices that draw blood.
A cynical stab at exploiting the current mania for steakhouses, costly conceit, and more gimmicks than all of the other steakhouses combined. That's a problem.
I don't think they like Trotteros restaurant. You know what? We talk about this kind of thing a lot, and my problem with a lot of Trotteros restaurants, and restaurant has to have heart. A restaurant, for me to really enjoy it, there has to be some passion there. There has to be something that pulls you in and makes you really want to be there. And it's not about flash. It's, like I said, it's not about roller coaster. It's not about the light show.
And
it's not about the fireworks. If there's got to be some passion there, there's got to be something that makes you want to be there. And I don't feel, I feel that Trotteros restaurants
are a show.
Are more than a show. They're designed to be a money-making machine, as
actually,
opposed to...
Bruni talks about this in the article. He says, and this I hate, and you know and I both hate this, what's more, servers seem intent on plumping up the tab. Now, listen, we order a lot of extra things at Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi. You can spend money there if you want. We have side dishes at Catherine Lombardi. We've got expensive wine at both places. But this is what he means by plumping up the tab. Whether by omitting any mention of tap when asking about water preferences or rushing to replace cocktails and glasses of wine that are suspiciously shallow on arrival. Well, that whole... I remember there was, when the waiter says, "So for water this evening, would you like still or sparkling?" And they're talking about it, you know, a $7 bottle of water. Look, if you want to buy a $7 bottle of water, that's great. So would you like a bottle of water this evening? It's very different than saying, "Would you like still or sparkling?" Because it seems to only give you two choices, and you've got to say, "Well, how about tap?"
Right.
Which, if that's what you want, I encourage you to do. I always order sparkling water with my dinner. I love it, but.
I don't think Jeffrey Chatterer is coming on the show anytime soon, do you?
Yeah, that's okay. I don't like him. We'll be back in just a moment with the winner.
Hold on. I don't know him. I don't like his restaurants very much.
Okay. I don't like what I know of him so far. We'll be back in just a minute with the winner of the Bravo TV reality series, Top Chef, Elon Hall. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. Now, you know that the only food reality show that Mark and I really like and follow and talk about all the time is Top Chef. And we've had Tom Colicchio on before last year. We had Harold Eatterly on, and we had Cliff on earlier this year. And now the winner of Top Chef is Elon Hall, and we welcome him to the show today.
Elon, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Big win last week, huh?
Yeah.
Life-changing.
Yes, quite.
We've decided to have you on the show without Marcel so you can actually get a word in edgewise.
Now, a lot of our fan base watches the show. It's on the Bravo Network. If you haven't seen it, you should really tune in. But why don't you tell people, as a winner of Top Chef, what it was that you won? What have you won now?
Well, so far I've got they've given me $100,000 to further my culinary career. A Kenmore kitchen, which consists of a lot. I haven't gotten the kitchen yet, but.
Will they put that in your apartment? What?
I have no idea where I'm going.
I mean, if you live in a studio, I mean, that's going to be kind of crowded in there.
In a tiny studio.
Yeah, we might want to wait for that until you actually have a restaurant to put it in. Oh, yeah. That might be the way to go.
Well, it's more like a home kitchen, but and also I've featured this month. Actually, I think it comes out today in Food and Wine magazine.
That's a pretty cool gig you got going on there. Why don't you tell us? You know how it's sort of like the American Idol of cooking, but it's actually it's pretty darn serious, this show. And one of the things we like about the show is that you know these are people who could really cook, who could really be chefs, and I think a lot of the challenges are you know germane to cooking in real life in a restaurant. How did you go about going on Top Chef, and what were your goals in going on Top Chef? What do you think you brought to the table there?
I went in on a whim. Like my friend loved the show. I'd never seen the show. I didn't see the first season, and my friend Lisa just loved the show and was like, you have to try out, got all the information for me, and I actually missed the open casting call. So I had to send in a video, just sort of, I don't know where I decided to send in a video. I bought one from Radio Shack, and then I had to return it the day after because I didn't want to.
Because you didn't yet have $100,000.
I didn't have $100,000 to blow $500 on a.
So what did you take? What did you take a video of that you sent to them?
Well, I did. It's actually, I think it's on the Bravo website. I did a video just in my apartment, heating up some leftover ramen noodles.
And that seemed to work out for you because they picked you.
It worked out. Well, I think that at that point they want to know. I mean, they check your resume. They check your, all of your contacts and references, and so they make sure that you're a professional, and they also, you know, they want to pick personalities because it's a television show in the end, you know?
Yeah, so I have a question for you. You know, Harold Dieterle, who won the first season of Top Chef, now you've won the second season of Top Chef, he seemed very glad to be passing the mantle on to you. Does that concern you at all?
No, not at all.
He seems so pleased to be done with his first season, with the season.
No, well, he's glad to, he's trying to open up his restaurant right now, and it's a lot of work, and I think maybe, I mean, that'll help him be successful in his restaurant. You know, I'm sure that'll give him extra business, but he also, you know, he wants to focus on that, and I think sort of being in the public eye can sometimes take away from your focus. Possibly. I mean, that's the only thing I can get from it. I think he's loved every bit of it.
What do you see, how do you see your life going for, let's talk about two things. Now I know I've heard that you've left your job at Casamono, which is, yes. was a great restaurant where we would occasionally go for him and Sherry a lot. What do you see in the next year yourself doing, and what do you see the trajectory of your career after that?
Well, the thing is, I've been, since before any of this, I've wanted to open up my own restaurant, but still further down the line. I want to travel the world. In May, I'm going to Spain, and I might not come back for a while.
Nice. You might not come back at all.
I might not come back at all. But I want to definitely go to Spain, eventually travel over to the East. I went last year to Hong Kong, China, and Japan for a little while, and I want to sort of focus in and study a bit more of Eastern cooking, do Thailand a bit, and then come back and, you know, hopefully I hadn't spend all my money, and then I open up a restaurant. I mean that's a very sort of basic timeline. But I need to practice more, and I also need to be in some management positions because I've only been a line cook. I haven't been a sous chef, so I can't really.
I think one of the things that I see with young cooks and young chefs especially is they view that chef job almost as the finish line. And one of the problems that I've seen for, as far as young chefs, the things that they fall into is they work their tails off and they learn as much as they can until they become a top chef or until they reach that goal that they've been waiting for a long time. And then they kind of stop learning and they kind of stagnate. And I'm encouraged by the fact that you want to go out and work in some other jobs and you want to go out and spend some time in Spain and learn more about your craft because I'm glad to hear the Top Chef isn't the finish line for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a prize for a competition. It's not, you know, doesn't sound like my career.
Mm. I think that's some pretty good perspective that you have there, but it's a hell of a prize and a hell of a shot in the arm. Hey, listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with Elon Hall, who is this year's Top Chef winner. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were, you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission? To live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants, and we're talking today with the winner of the reality TV series Top Chef, Elon Hall.
So, Elon, I want to talk a little bit about the inner workings of the show, and I think that there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes. Francis and I had some good friends who were in... worked on the staff at the show The Restaurant, which was Rocco's kind of failed restaurant show, kind of interesting little big mess that happened there.
But it wasn't always what you saw on TV wasn't always what was going on behind the lines.
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk to you a little bit about the show editing and how certain things were portrayed and maybe timelines and things that,
well,
that
the thing
may
is,
have exactly.
Well, you have to put into perspective that they're filming 18 hours a day of footage, and sometimes one episode would span over 3 or 4 days even. So can't fit, you know, everything into... It's so hard to portray somebody, you know, when they're cramming, you know, 40 hours of footage into 44 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
I think they can portray somebody pretty much in the light that they so choose is as well.
Yeah, what do you think?
But you also can't make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but do you think that the portrayals of people in the show accurately captured the character of most of the people, the contestants on the show?
I think further down the road, yes.
Now,
at the beginning, it's difficult to do that, to try and, you know, shed equal light on everybody.
Because you have a lot of personalities.
Sure.
I mean,
there's so many personalities.
So many people.
I tell you, Colicchio comes across on the show as just... as a great chef and a very even-keeled and professional sort of mentor, and I knew Tom before the show. I mean, met him on a couple of occasions, but I think he's very impressive on the show. Was he as impressive a guiding force as it seems from the watching the show?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's such a, you know, everybody on the show holds him, all the cast hold him in such high regard and really respect him and his ideals toward cooking, you know, and his approach to food as a whole. And also respect him as a businessman. I mean, he's become extremely successful, and especially in the past 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when we come back after the news, we're going to be talking more with Elon Hall, who's the winner of this year's Bravo TV reality series Top Chef. Elon Hall is the Top Chef, and we'll be talking more with him after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
We're
everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Capital Party Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
We're talking with the winner of the Bravo TV reality show Top Chef series. He is the Top Chef, Ilan Hall. Ilan, we love the show. Actually, you know, we're at work, so we can't watch it on time. But Mark TiVo is
it's all about TiVo, baby.
And you know, I go over after work on the way back from the restaurant, and Mark's family is asleep, and I'll sit there and have a beer, and we'll watch TiVo. It's actually kind of creepy now that I think about it, but I don't have a TV at home. So one of the things that was really interesting this year was a lot of the personality conflicts, and there were a lot of conflicts with a guy named Marcel. If you don't watch the show, you can go to the Bravo website and get some summaries of it, and they're rerunning the show as well. But the personality conflicts or the personality interactions overall, I think, were a driving force behind the show. But, you know, this one guy, Marcel, well, I think most people found him annoying, but people sort of, I don't know, tackled him. And you know, he definitely stood out. And he was the guy who was a finalist with you. How did that personality work? I actually made for great TV. But how did that personality conflict work its way out with all of the contestants? It seems everybody had a problem with this guy.
Well, there's a few things about Marcel. Everybody on the blogs and on the internet seemed to, sorry to address this, but everybody on the blogs and the internet seemed to, you know, not understand why everybody had a problem with Marcel. There are a couple things.
I'd have punched him.
No, you wouldn't have.
No, but I've gotten a lot of hate mail. Betty's gotten a lot of stuff. I mean, Michael, everybody's gotten a lot of flack for the way that we treated Marcel. I mean, wouldn't you think that there's something going on with him, that he's really that awful to piss off 14 people? I mean, especially Elia, who was his friend throughout most of the competition.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, what I saw, and frankly what people are talking about around here, and, you know, never has there been a contestant, I think, on one of these shows who was quite as vilified and disliked as Marcel was by most of the people who are talking about this show. So I think that you may be getting a little bit of fringe there as far as who's commenting about that you guys were unfair to Marcel, because I think most of the people I've talked to have said Marcel's a jerk.
No, I know. And most of the people that I run into, especially in New York, I mean, New York, I get a lot of support. But I don't know. I had problems with him. He talked down to people. He was condescending. He was, you know, very snobby about the way that he cooked, which wasn't that great.
I think people in the industry, Mark, I think that's one of the things. Is some of the food blogs might think, oh, well, poor Marcel. But in the industry, in a kitchen, there's really no room. And here's, I think, another lesson that really does come out of this show. And I was so thrilled when he didn't win, I'm sorry to say. I really was. Because I thought if he had won, it would have damaged the credibility of the show. Now, look, Cliff at one point tackled him and tried to cut his hair off. I sympathize, but it was a wrong move to make. But one of the things, you know, there's an old Irish saying, and you've heard me use this before, that, you know, a chef is not just a cook, a chef is a leader. That's not the Irish saying. But the Irish saying is, a leader without followers is just a man on a long walk. And, you know, there's no way that I can see how Marcel, with his inability to interact with any of the people there, would inspire loyalty for people to follow him through the show. Whereas I think that, you know, you saw in Team Challenges, other people could work together. Do you think that's accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, really, all the problems that he had with people were, you know, caused by him.
Why do you think in the finals that, and again, I'm sorry for the people who haven't seen the show yet, but please go to Bravo.com and they'll have all the details to this. Why do you think that in that last episode, Sam and Michael volunteered to work for Marcel instead of wanting to work with you to help you win the money?
Well, there's a couple things. Like, I'm sure they were upset. Not Michael. Michael has been, you know, off a little earlier than that.
Uh-huh.
But I think Sam was very upset that he wasn't in the final two. I think he came to Hawaii, you know, knowing that he was going to win. He's like, that's it. You know, there was no, he studied a lot. He practiced. He came with, there was no doubt in his mind that he was going to be Top Chef. So I think that sort of pissed him off a bit that he wasn't there, and he felt that I would beat Marcel anyway, and he thought that if he was on the winning team, it would be like a win for him. I mean, which is a fair assumption. If I was in that place, I'd feel the same way.
Now, so was there animosity between Sam and you? Because I didn't really see that until that very last show.
No, there was no animosity. But I just think that that's how he felt.
Mm-hmm.
That he, you know, felt that if he could cause himself to win, then, you know, if he was on a winning team, even more so because it was Marcel against myself, that because he thought that I would win, he knows that I'm better than Marcel, that if he was on a winning team against me, where the odds were lower, then it would be even a more victorious win.
Be a bigger victory for him.
Now, let me ask you, having gone through the show and having gone through all these challenges and having gone through the experience, from the outside, I mean, we're in the industry, but we're viewers, we're not on the inside of the show, do you think that the show accurately reflects a lot of the skills that are necessary in a real restaurant environment or kitchen environment? How relevant is the show?
Of course. I mean, you have to be a bit more forgiving for many of the television production aspects of the show, but I think all of the challenges were proper, and all the times are real. I mean, when they say you have 15 minutes to do this, you have 15 minutes to do this. There's no, it's not, the challenges themselves aren't realistic, but they use realistic skill. They use real skill to sort of get.
Were there particular challenges that you really, really liked? There are some that you said, you know, this is really.
I mean, it's sort of a repeat from last season, but I liked the vending machine challenge a lot. I thought it was cool.
See, as somebody who watched the show, of all the challenges, the vending machine to me was my least favorite.
We should explain to the listeners what the vending machine challenge is. I mean, the various contestants on the reality show had to make a meal out of items they could get at a vending machine. So how did you over?
Let's get them out of a vending machine.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about how you over. You know what your thought process was when you're faced with such an unusual challenge.
Well, it's kind of that really pushes you. If you can make something delicious, I mean. I think some of my best culinary creations were made at 4:30 in the morning off of, you know, junk food leftovers in my parents' house when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of.
So you were ready.
I was ready for that one. And even though I didn't win that one, I did come in on the top three in that. But yeah.
So this all came from alcohol at 4 in the morning when you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so what were the challenges that you didn't enjoy? Were there things that you said, this isn't really my skill set?
I sort of took every quickfire, especially with a grain of salt. Like, you can't, especially in the quickfires, which I only won once.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Thanksgiving challenge, the canned food challenge, which I liked and disliked at the same time. I mean, you're trying to make something fresh out of something completely not fresh. But,
yeah, again, as somebody watching, as a consumer watching the show, there were things that I thought were really, really good challenges and things that I thought...
What was your favorite challenge?
Well, I like I like the Market Basket challenge. I thought the challenge where you guys... I'm sorry?
The Mystery Box challenge?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite. That was my most victorious win, I think.
Because that is what happens, I mean, for a chef. You go in and you go to the marketplace and you're confronted with these mysterious ingredients that maybe they're mysterious or maybe they're not mysterious.
But you don't know what you're going
to find. A little more extreme than just going to a market and buying.
Absolutely. Of course, it's much more extreme. But at the same time, you know, you don't necessarily know what you're going to be confronted with at the marketplace and to kind of come up with those things. The other one that I liked a lot was the offal, where you had to use kind of the let's go beyond secondary, but the tertiary cuts of the meat.
The offal, O-F-F-A-L, not A-W-F-U-L.
So, you know what? When we come back from break, why don't we talk a little bit more about that particular challenge and what we found so that was so truthful about that.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't, based on lighting. Lights on Nine is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on Nine supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on Nine has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on Nine, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightsonnine.com. That's lightsonthenumber9.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Citizen Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Sage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we're talking today with Ilan Hall, winner of the Bravo TV reality series Top Chef.
So, Ilan, before the break, we were talking about some of the challenges that we liked and more than certain others. And one of the ones that I alluded to was you guys had to do kind of a dish with offal, okay,
OFF. With organ
meats. With organ meats. But frankly, as we begin using whole animals again, as our grandparents did all the time, but somehow our parents kind of fell away from that, I see food moving back in that direction where you're using the whole product, using the whole animal again. So I was kind of encouraged to see the contestants on the show encouraged to do that. You want to tell us a little bit about that challenge?
Well, I think it was a bit of an advantage, even though I didn't win. My restaurant, I mean, that dish that I did was very, very similar to something we do in my restaurant. And we use sweetbreads, we use lots of offal meats, organ meats, hearts. Not kidneys, but we use hearts, feet, heads. We've done terrines with heads, so I'm very comfortable cooking with organs and sort of ugly bits and tail ends, cocktails.
But that's the talent of a chef, isn't it, to take the ugly bits and make a beautiful dish?
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, if you're trained properly, you can sort of, I mean, if you apply your cooking technique to any ingredient, you can make it great. I mean, that's sort of going a bit off subject, but I was given lots of critique for using lots of Spanish flavors, but the technique shined through. I mean, I could be applying that with spices of a different region, and, you know, cooking technique sort of is the same through and through. You roast a piece of meat the same way. You deep fry something one way. There's no real change as you go from country to country to country. I mean, you're still braising, is still long and wet and slow.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, and you just talked about, you know, the Spanish cuisine that you kind of, I don't want to say fell back on, because I don't think that's really true. What
it's
I saw
a large
was
influence on
it was your influence. That's your style, at least at this point in your career. Those are the things that you use to enhance flavor. But not to talk about them again too much. But then Marcel comes back and says something to the effect of, you know, well, you use paprika in every dish, and you know, your food has no creativity. I guess I kind of felt that was just him lashing back because of the things that were said about him using foam in every dish, and he was.
It's the same. He's just as repetitive, if not more. If you look at his home tape, he's making a dish that he did in his final. He's doing what did he do? I think he did the caviar with bellini. Like, he's not. These are things that he's thought of many, 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 many times. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't go, you know, talking smack about me, how I'm repetitive. I mean, Mario Batali, when he cooks Italian food on the show. That's all he cooks.
Right.
Italian food.
Right.
Italian food. You know, he knows a lot about each thing. But, you know, I see there not being absolutely nothing wrong with specializing in a certain type of cuisine.
I think that's a much better word, specializing, because that's.
I mean, especially since that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years of my life, and it's what I think is the most delicious right now.
And you can still be a great chef. So you got to clear something up for me with this whole Marcel thing. I read on one of the blogs that he says, "Oh, you know, Ilan calls me all the time. I don't know why he keeps bothering me."
I called him 3 times to invite him for lunch because I knew he was coming to New York for the end of the show.
And
that was
it. So you were trying to be nice.
I was trying to be nice.
And he's blown it up in your face. How's that feel? You feel good about that? You feel really good about...
I have no animosity towards Marcel.
Yeah.
No, we've no problems.
You know, one of the things that happened to him, and you know, a couple of things that have happened to him since this show, you know, the guy brought on, I think, a lot of the animosity that the public feels towards him. The guy brought on a lot of the animosity that the other contestants feel towards him. But something that happened, I just quickly want to discuss this with you, that let's not, as a public listening and watching to these things, let's not read exactly too much into this. You know, one of the things I saw is somebody saw Marcel in Vegas and hit him in the face with a bottle and gave him a bunch of stitches above his left eye. You know, I just think we're taking this too far.
What's wrong with you people? It's a reality show. It's not reality.
Yeah, no, but not even. Who cares? Like, it's such a...
I know.
It's so ridiculous. It's so violent. It's so... I mean, that was disgusting. When I heard that, it was disgusting.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
You know, getting into an argument with somebody over something, you know, is a lot different than...
Than hospitalizing them.
Hospitalizing him. That's absolutely. He had 40 stitches above his eye.
That's really. It would take a lot to get me to get on Marcel's side and feel bad for him. But I certainly
but
do.
There it was.
Everybody should feel bad.
Of course.
That hit him should feel like a complete idiot.
Well, and they should feel that way in jail. That's how they should feel that way for sure. Hey, Ilan, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today on the Restaurant Guys. It's been great to have you. Congratulations on winning
absolutely.
Top Chef.
Enjoy your year, man. It's
I'm
sure it's going to be a wild ride.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. That's Ilan Hall. He is Top Chef. He's the winner of the reality TV series on Bravo, which we like. You can check that out at bravotv.com. We'll also link you to it on our website. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants. We were just talking with Ilan Hall, winner of Top Chef. I love that show. I do.
You know, he's got a lot of things in front of him, and I'm not even sure that he realizes how big this is going to be and the big changes in his life.
Oh, I think he realizes.
You know, you get all this publicity. Sometimes that's not a good thing, though. Sometimes, you know, we talked about earlier in the show with him, you know, how a lot of chefs see that as a finish line. A lot of chefs, you know, you capture this goal sometimes too young. And, you know, he's the second youngest guy who was on the show this time. And, you know, it's the finish line instead of another starting point.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, this guy's got a real great head on his shoulders. Harold Dieterle last year had a great head on his shoulders. I don't think any of these guys are. I mean, these guys did rise to the top, and I think that they're going to be just fine. But we do say all the time, you know, and the American restaurant scene and the American chef scene and the employment pool out there is maturing and increasing in professionalism in both food and wine, that's for sure.
And there's a lot more information and product out there for people
Mark
to use.
But Mark and I are 41, okay? So people our age graduated from CIA in 1988, right? Uh-huh. 89, 90, 91, 92. And we opened our restaurant in 92. Well, we've continued to try and travel and learn as much as we can. And our current executive chef is a guy named Anthony Bucco, who is in his early 30s, and he is continuing. He just went to Madrid Fusion, and we send him places, and he goes. You know, he still stages in other chefs' kitchens, mm-hmm. even though he's an executive chef in his own right, to keep growing. But there were so many young chefs, and if you're thinking about a career in the restaurant industry, or you're a young line cook,
especially in our age group, I watched this happen to a lot of people.
But you know, like the little trattoria on the corner hires this young culinary student just out, you know, who's maybe been cooking for 4 years after school, got a sous chef position, and is now the chef at this little trattoria.
And he's very talented. I mean, let's like Ilan, he's very talented. He's got a great background to this point.
But what can happen, and especially out in the suburbs, okay? Because uh-huh. in the city, there's a lot more opportunity for cross-pollination.
To expose yourself to, sure.
Sure, because on your night off, you can go to the greatest restaurants around. You know people in the industry. You can go out to dinner at midnight after work many nights,
uh-huh.
Depending on the place. And there's a lot of cross-pollination of ideas. But out in the suburbs or out in the exurbs, when a young chef finds a restaurant like that and they find a chef position, they don't have the time to continue to grow and explore. And we find many people like, oh, he graduated CIA in 1991. Aha, uh-huh. Portobello mushrooms grilled with balsamic vinegar. That's 1992. You know,
and a dollop of goat cheese.
Goat cheese and sun-dried tomato. Right. Ah, that's 1989. You know, and I'm like, I can tell you when the chef graduated CIA.
Uh-huh.
So be very aware of that. The thing about this industry for consumers, for restaurateurs, and for chefs is we got to keep growing and learning and listening to shows like this and reading books. Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schock.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.